Het is vandaag een bijzondere zondag, want het is Vaderdag. En dat wordt over de hele wereld gevierd, net als Moederdag natuurlijk. Iedereen van harte welkom bij Hour of Power. En fijn dat u of dat jij kijkt naar deze bijzondere uitzending. Als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland vanmorgen, Gerald Troost, liedjeschrijver, componist, zanger, arrangeur. Noem het maar op. Gerald, je bent zelf ook vader van twee kleintjes. Wat is voor jou Vaderdag?
Iets heel bijzonders. Het woord vader heeft absoluut een hele bijzondere lading. Ik vind het bijzonder om zorg te mogen dragen voor twee van die kleine mensjes. En het is ook bijzonder dat God zichzelf vader noemt. En dat wil zeggen dat hij zorg wil dragen voor ons mensen.
Daar gaan we straks over verder praten. Een geïnspireerde zanger. En hij gaat straks ook meer vertellen over wat hem beweegt. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
And all God's people said, wow, this is a beautiful day to feel the Holy Spirit of God in this place. And so he is here. And he's using you to fulfill his commands to love one another. So please turn to the people next to you, behind you, around you, shake their hand and say, God loves you. And I do too. Well, we are very honored and privileged to have the president of Biola University, Dr. Clyde Cook, who is going to be with us this morning. My father will be interviewing him. My wife, Donna, will be reading the scriptures. We have the extraordinary New Zealand-born singer, Hayley Westenra. We have Don Newen with the Crystal Cathedral Choir. We have Sean Groombidge at the magnificent Hazel Wright organ, and Mark Riley in the Hour of Power. And so we know that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for touching our hearts, our souls, and our minds with your presence and with your goodness. And so as we come here today, may we be renewed and refreshed. May we feel your forgiving grace. And may we go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Amen.
Oh,
Thank you, choir. Please be seated. Now we get to hear some great words, the same words that we just sang in this wonderful hymn. So hear these words now from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And we know that God will continue to bless this as we have meditated on this word. And as we continue now with the service, listen to the choir as they sing that fantastic piece of composition from Beethoven, Hallelujah.
you, Don Newman. Thank you, choir, instrumentalists, organists. Well, we have different guests every week, and today I have one of the most distinguished guests I've ever had. He is one of the presidents of Christian universities in the United States, a little over 100 Christian schools, colleges, universities. But Clyde Cook has been the president of Biola College for 25 years, an amazing story, a very dear friend, and is not a stranger to be sitting in this church. So welcome the president of Biola University, Dr. Clyde Cook. Oh, wow. Let's get quick to a story. You were born outside of the United States?
Born in Hong Kong.
And lived in the Orient how many years before you came to America?
Well, we were in Hong Kong for 7 years and left there because of the Japanese attack on Hong Kong December the 8th. Woke up early that morning at 8:05. We heard the siren go off and then the dive bombers followed right after that. We were between two batteries, one up on the top and one on the bottom, and bombs were falling all around our house, and so it was a very, very emotional time there. And then Hong Kong fell on December 25th, and we wound up in a concentration camp for 6 months, and then we were able to get out thanks to an exchange program between the diplomats and in America, the Japanese that got exchanged. We wound up in Africa, so.
You know, some people here don't even know the history. What was going on? You say the war. What war?
It was World War II.
Who, why? Yeah.
The Japanese bombed Hong Kong just 6 hours after they bombed Pearl Harbor. And because of the dateline, it was the 8th there. And so the surprise attack at Pearl Harbor then launched the U.S. into this war with Japan and its allies. So.
Wow. Were there people killed in Hong Kong?
Yeah, hundreds and hundreds of people. Nobody thought that anybody would attack the British Crown Colony, the British Empire, but that was wrong. And, it was devastating. We weren't prepared. We didn't have the planes and so forth, so we wound up in the concentration camp. But we had two meals a day, a little bowl of rice and a little bowl of soup. My mother was down to 90 pounds and would not have lasted just a few weeks without getting out, and, of course, nursing a four-month-old baby at the same time. So we're very grateful. A third of the camp actually died of starvation. And so by the grace of God, we were able to get out. Regrouped the family in Africa, and my mother didn't know whether my father was dead or alive because he was in Canton, captured up there in prison. The elder three were up in Chifu, captured there. So my mother didn't know the father or the kids were dead or alive. And so a couple times a week in Africa, she would go to the Red Cross to see if there's any word of dad. And coming down from the Red Cross, she met my father on the street and had this wonderful reunion. And then my father, as soon as he got the family settled in South Africa, joined MacArthur as part of the Pacific Campaign.
What a huge chunk of history came into your young life. Wow. And Jesus Christ was personal to you.
Actually, not at that time. You know, I was kind of riding on the coattails of my father and mother. It was in August the 10th, 1950, where I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Why? Yeah. What provoked that?
Well, I heard Jim Rayburn, the founder of Young Life, speak. And so he just shared the gospel in such a way. And I was just, I could speak the language, the jargon. I went to church, director of the youth group and so forth. But just because you're born in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you're born into a Christian family does not make you a Christian. I had to personally trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I did under his ministry. And life has never been the same. What a blessed Savior we have.
Yes.
I could just mention a couple of things about my mother. And the first image that I would share is when the bombs were falling, how she took us, the children, put us under the staircase, and we could hear the bombs falling all around, shaking the house. And she'd read the Daily Light, would sing a song in Chinese, and then would sing He Leadeth Me. In fact, I can't hear He Leadeth Me anymore without, in the back of my mind, and the whole house just shaking here. And house just, townhouses just about 30 yards away got just obliterated. And I just see my mother and the calmness she had with bombs just shaking the house all around. And the second incident happened, Hong Kong fell on Christmas Day, and we had a week there, not knowing what to do, and the Japanese came around. And one Japanese came around, he was a believer, and he was an organist, and he was apologized for the war. And this asked if he could stay for devotions, and he played the piano while we had the devotion. But a big contrast, just a few days later, on New Year's Eve, a whole other group of Japanese came to demand that we send out the Chinese girls we were harboring in this house. And we had a gate around, a fence around the house with a gate with a chain and a lock. And we wouldn't send these young Chinese girls out. And so they started pounding on the lock, and they just kept pounding and pounding and pounding. And I just remember as a child seeing my mother, Mrs. Cliff, push the sofa up to the door. And there they got down on their knees. And here were these two ladies just praying and asking God to spare us and to spare everybody in the house. And that image is very vivid in my life and heart today. Well, after an hour, they left. And we went out the next morning and just touched the lock, and it just fell apart, disintegrated. Oh, it was as God had his hand on that lock and preserved our family, and how I thank him for that.
So you are retiring this year as president of Biola College, one of the great Christian colleges, universities in the world. And
thank you.
When I first was introduced to it 50 years ago, it was a good Bible school. But I don't think it was a great university. It has become that under you.
Well, under the grace of God and the wonderful faculty and the students that we've had, including your grandson, one of the two best students ever graduated from Biola. I don't say the best because Tom Leonard's up here somewhere and he's saying, well, what about me, you know, or my wife or Kyle or lots of other people could say the same. So even my wife, my wonderful wife, almost 50 years.
Stand up. We all wanted to see your wife and...
And her sister next to her and her husband. And kind of, isn't she beautiful? I even say, you know, she's one of the two best wives because my mother might be listening, or my daughter, or everybody here who's a wife. And this to last 25 years in this job, you try not to offend very many people.
So you're going to go out of Biola, you're going to become a diplomat for the United States of America, probably.
Right.
You are very diplomat.
And here's one of the two best preachers in the world.
Well, I do want to thank you for affirming my ministry these many, many years. Yeah. It's been very supportive. I needed it. And I
thank you.
Thank you for it. Biola College, Biola University. What's the future of private Christian colleges like Biola?
I think it's very bright because, you know, we're living in a culture that says there's no absolute truth. And at Biola and so many other Christian colleges, we believe that God has revealed his absolute truth in his word. And so we have an anchor. We have something that brings all the disciplines together through the word of God. And so the contrast with the other schools that... I don't think you can be properly educated when you exclude the source of all truth and knowledge. God is the source of all truth and knowledge. And so we're providing a very important role there. And then I think the interaction with the culture. You know, Oz Guinness said Christians are vastly underrepresented in two areas, the media and in the universities. And Biola, with its excellent film program and its philosophy program, the largest philosophy program in the world, is making a difference in those two areas. So we won't be underrepresented in those two areas. And certainly you made a wonderful contribution, as says the Hour of Power, to making sure that word gets out through the media.
Well, thank you very, very much. So, God loves you, so do I.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Today it's my privilege to welcome the fastest-selling new classical artist in the United Kingdom. New Zealand-born singer Hayley Westenra. She's performed for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. She has performed for President Bush, for Tony Blair, and for Prince Charles. Not only has she sung on many of the world's most renowned platforms, but she's the youngest ever ambassador for UNICEF. Let's give her a warm Crystal Cathedral welcome as she comes to sing the beautiful hymn, Abide With Me. You are wonderful, beautiful.
En van de muziek in de Crystal Cathedral naar Gerald Troost. Die is vanmorgen mijn gast. Gerald is 29 jaar en bij jongeren vooral bekend als gospelzanger. Althans, niet helemaal, want hij zingt liedjes over het leven. Hij is schrijver van liedjes, hij componeert ze zelf, schrijft de muziek. Een multitalent die ook graag naar Hour of Power kijkt. En ik denk ook van de muziek bij Hour of Power geniet, Gerald.
Absoluut, ja, zeker. Goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen, ja. Dat zou ik bijna vergeten.
Ja.
Ja, je geniet ervan?
Absoluut. Ik zie ook vaak zeer bekende gospelartiesten langskomen. En ik hou ook zeker van het orkest en dergelijke, het grote koor. Ja, dat...
Als muzikus spreek je dat
aan. Spreekt me zeker aan, absoluut. Ja. Ja.
Het is vandaag Vaderdag.
Ja.
Je bent vader van twee kinderen. Wat betekent Vaderdag voor jou? Of is het elke dag Vaderdag?
Het is elke dag natuurlijk een beetje Vaderdag. Nou ja, het woord vader roept wel iets bijzonders bij me op. Ik denk dat vaders ontzettend belangrijk zijn. Ook gewoon aardse vaders. Vaders zijn voorbeeldfiguren. Mensen waaraan je kunt spiegelen. En God vergelijkt zich ook met een vader. En ik ben zelf inderdaad nog eens vader. Dus ja, het is heel bijzonder om te mogen zorgen voor twee van die kleine mensjes. Ik moet eerlijk zeggen, het is niet altijd makkelijk. Vannacht en eergisternacht heb ik geen oog dicht gedaan. Vanwege kiespijn bij mijn zoon van vier. Ja. Maar desondanks is het heel bijzonder om zo zorg te mogen dragen voor van die jonge leventjes.
Ja. Je schrijft over de diepe zin van het leven, de vragen van het leven, de verwondering over het leven. Kun je daar iets over vertellen wat jou inspireert?
Nou, ik ben denk ik een schrijver, iemand die gevoelig is voor allerlei indrukken om hem heen. En dat probeer ik dan vorm te geven in liedjes, in teksten, in muziek. Ik heb vroeger ook wel wat geschilderd. Ik vind het heerlijk om te doen, om al die gevoelens, gedachten en belevenissen om die te uiten op die manier. En het mooie is dat heel veel mensen erdoor geraakt worden. Dat mensen erdoor geïnspireerd worden. Ja. Ik schrijf niet alleen over mijn geloof, maar ook over de liefde, over verdriet, over de maatschappij. Maar het geloof is altijd wel de rode draad die er doorheen loopt. Mijn eerste cd heette Met andere ogen. En het geloof laat mij ook met andere ogen naar al die thema's kijken.
Er zijn 6 cd's van jouw hand verschenen. Allemaal met zelfgeschreven liedjes. Dat vind ik razend knap, Gerald. Welk liedje spreekt jou zelf het meeste aan?
Het nummer wat me het meest aanspreekt is toch wel denk ik het lied Thuis. Over het overlijden van mijn broertje Jarnoud. Dat nummer is tegelijkertijd heel erg persoonlijk. En het beschrijft iets van mijn machteloosheid. Mijn boosheid richting God. Maar het zegt ook iets over mijn geloof en over mijn liefde voor God. Dus die tegenstellingen, ja, dat maakt het nummer denk ik heel bijzonder.
Je bent je broertje verloren toen hij 5 was?
Ja, 5 jaar aan een hersentumor. Mijn broertje had een hersentumor. Ik was zelf 14 jaar. Ja. En dat was natuurlijk erg ingrijpend voor een tiener, voor een puber. Ja. Die probeerde erg stoer te zijn en het een beetje te maken bij de mensen om hem heen. Ja. Populariteit. En dan krijg je dit soort zaken op je bordje. En ik wist daar totaal geen raad mee. Pas toen ik jaar of 18, 19 was, toen ben ik weer naar de begraafplaats gegaan. En heb ik eigenlijk toen pas het verdriet verwerkt. En nadien heb ik ook het nummer geschreven.
Ja, maar je was boos op God?
Ja, ik begreep er absoluut niks van. Ik kan er nog steeds niet helemaal bij waarom een jongetje van 5 jaar moet sterven. En zo moet lijden. Er zal ongetwijfeld een reden achter zitten, een mooie bedoeling. Maar die zie ik niet altijd, eigenlijk bijna nooit.
Maar je bent je geloof niet kwijtgeraakt?
Nee, ik ben niet mijn geloof kwijtgeraakt. Ik heb wel gezien dat juist door dat verdriet ik heel veel heb mogen doorgeven richting andere mensen, jonge mensen. Heel veel mensen lopen met verdriet rond, hè? Dat hoort bij het leven. Ja. En ik heb daarin wel altijd mogen wijzen naar God. Want ik denk niet dat ik God de schuld uiteindelijk kan en mag geven.
Nee. Op je website las ik dat je bijzondere waardering hebt voor zanger Michael W. Smith. Nou, daar zijn we het in ieder geval dik over eens. Een fantastische zanger. Inspireren zijn liedjes jou?
Ja, ik vind het een geweldig persoon. Ik vind dat hij op een hele frisse manier toch zijn boodschap uitdraagt. Op een hele eigentijdse manier. Ja. En ik vind zijn nummers ook steengoed. De melodieën die hij schrijft, die zijn heel pakkend. Ja. Ook hitgevoelig. Ja. Maar ik denk dat het ook echt een integere man is. Die met zijn gaven en talenten probeert iets door te geven. Iets van het evangelie.
Het is vandaag Vaderdag. En jij hebt een liedje geschreven over je relatie met jouw vader.
Dat klopt. En dat nummer heet Papa, ben je trots op mij.
Ja. Citeer daar eens wat uit.
Ik weet, ik hoef niets te bewijzen. Ik weet dat jij veel om mij geeft. Maar soms heb ik jouw woorden nodig als er twijfel in mij leeft. Even een kort stukje tekst. Ja. Ik ben wel iemand die gevoelig is, wat ik zei. En die absoluut ook wel een stukje bevestiging nodig heeft van mensen om mij heen. Waaronder mijn vader. Dus papa, ben je trots op mij? Papa, zie je de strijd in mij? Ja. Papa, gaat de storm voorbij die nog steeds in mij woedt? Dat zegt het refrein. Dat leeft wel in mij. Ik ben een van binnen wervelt het soms. Ja. En soms heb je als het ware een vaderfiguur nodig. Je aardse vader, ook je hemelse vader. Die als het ware soms even je wat ondersteunt en je bevestigt en je lief heeft.
Ja, heel grappig, want jouw bijna plaatsgenoot Stef Bos heeft ook een liedje over, over papa geschreven.
Klopt, ja.
En een heel andere inhoud.
Ja, dat gaat. Hij schrijft natuurlijk dat meer vanuit een levensvisie zonder God. Hè? Ja. Wat hij ook, ik heb een goddeloos geloof en ik hou van elke vrouw.
Ja.
En misschien ben ik geworden wat jij helemaal niet wou. Nou, mijn geloof is niet goddeloos. Maar ik betrek God in dat verhaal.
Ja. Nog even terugkomend op je website. Daar schreef je dat je door een schrijver erg wordt geïnspireerd. Moet ik zijn naam noemen of noem je zelf?
Henry Nouwen?
Ja.
Ja. Henry Nouwen is heel bijzonder voor mij. Ik was een jaar of 18, 19 toen ik voor het eerst het boekje Parel in Gods Ogen las. Ik had het zo bij mijn vader uit de boekenkast gehaald. Ik was ziek, geloof ik. Ik had een griep. Ik denk, nou, ach, laat ik voor de lol, gewoon voor de gein eens een boekje gaan lezen. En toen ik dat las, was het zo anders dan al die andere theologische boeken die ik eerder had gelezen. Het was zo doorleefd en zo gevoelig, zo echt. Zo puur, dat het mij heel erg aansprak. En ja, ik moet eerlijk zeggen, ik heb er best wel even een traan bij gelaten. Ik vond het geweldig.
Ja, een geweldig man. Als je het nu zegt, dan krijg ik ook weer emotie. Want dat boek is een heel bijzonder boek, Parel in Gods Ogen.
Ja, ja.
Heeft hij ook op de bank gezeten, net als jij?
Ja, ik vind het toch wel een klein beetje bijzonder. Ja, geweldig.
Gerald, fijn dat je hier vanmorgen was en zo met enthousiasme vertelde.
Ja.
Ik wist dat jij van Henry Nouwen hield, dus ik heb de prekenserie in de christelijke titel heeft gehouden. U bent geliefd.
Geweldig.
Jij bent geliefd. Heb ik hier
voor
jou op DVD.
Ik ben heel erg blij mee.
En mijn meest favoriete boek naast de Bijbel is dit boek van Henry Nouwen, Eindelijk Thuis.
Ja, ook geweldig. Ja, ik ken het boek en ik ben er ontzettend blij mee.
Geef het dan aan een ander.
Ja, zal ik doen.
En omdat vandaag Vaderdag is, het positieve gezin.
Nou, ja. Dat is nooit weg. Hè? Ja. Dat nemen we mee. Geweldig. Ja. Hartelijk dank.
Ja. En heel fijn dat je hier was. En ik hoop dat je nog lang blijft zingen. En ons blijft blij maken met je mooie, maar vooral je doordachte muziek. Want dat is het. De muziek van Gerald is, daar moet je bij nadenken. Wij gaan terug naar de christelijke titel. En gaan daarnaast naar een schitterend stuk muziek.
Now it's my privilege to welcome back to the Crystal Cathedral classical pianist Vivian Fahn playing Prelude 7 by Claude Debussy. Thank you. We had a guest here a few years ago by the name of Rabbi Irvin Katzoff. And Irvin is an amazing man. He is a visionary, an entrepreneur, an author. And he has seen the violence around the world that's done in the name of God. And he thought, who am I? You know, what can I do? I'm just a rabbi living in L.A., and what can I do? But he had a vision. He said, maybe we could bring Muslims and Christians and Jews together, and maybe we can make a slight difference. Maybe we can make a statement to the world that God isn't about violence. And a few months ago, I received an invitation by a group that, whose name I'd never heard of before, and I couldn't find out any information about these groups, but they invited me to fly to Kiev, the Ukraine, to participate in a conference for peace and tolerance between Christians, Muslims, and Jews. And I went. And there, greeting me in the hotel lobby, was Rabbi Irvin Katzoff. And he said, Robert, it's good to see you again. I said, wow, we have to travel halfway around the world to meet, it sounds like. And he told me about his vision. And there he had Muslim sheikhs from Dubai, and from Jordan, and from Egypt. He had the head rabbi of Jerusalem, Yana Metzger, who is an Orthodox rabbi. He had Tom Ridge, the secretary, the first secretary of Homeland Security and the former governor of Pennsylvania. He had one of the most amazing women I've ever met there. She was the former prime minister, Benazir Bhutto, and she was actually the first female prime minister in the Muslim world, and today she's in exile in the United Arab Emirates. And we listened to each other give short messages, addresses. And the address I gave was one that focused on the fact that we have a common enemy. And the common enemy that we all have is evil. Violence, greed, corruption, genocide, human trafficking. These are all evil. But at the same time, they are not the true enemy. They are the results of the enemy. They are the symptoms of the enemy. The real problem is found and cured in human hearts. It's a spiritual problem, I said. The spiritual problem is a lack of faith. A lack of faith in God to give us the power to tear down the walls and allow us the freedom to build bridges and to allow the love of God to flow through our hearts and to be the people that God wants us to be. When I left the Ukraine, I went to Berlin. And there we met with hundreds of people who watched The Hour of Power. And I asked an interesting question. I said, how many people here can say The Hour of Power saved my life? And there must have been dozens of people who raised their hands and stood up who said, The Hour of Power saved my life. The last service, I asked that same question. And there were dozens of people in the congregation who said, The Hour of Power has saved my life. If you can say that the Crystal Cathedral, The Hour of Power, has saved your life, would you raise your hand? I want to see. Is there people here? Wow. Would you stand up? I want people to see. You're raising your hand. I want people to see that there is actually, because it's hard to see the hands. Would you mind standing up if you raised your hand? I want there to be a testimony of what God is doing through this ministry. God is having a powerful impact. Look around you. Look at here. Here's the testimony.
lives are being... You can applaud that. You sure can. One man I met in Berlin, his name was Bill. And Bill said, I was 53 years old. And I had built a successful business, and my partner stole everything. And he left. And he left me with all of the bills. And I had this huge pile of bills, no money to pay. And I had my family, and how could I start over again when I'm 53 years old? But I also had a $1 million life insurance policy. I figured if I would die, then my family would have some money at least, and they could take care of themselves. So I decided I would get in the Autobahn. I had a nice car, and I would just drive 200 miles an hour on the Autobahn until I found an opportunity to have an accident. And then my family would get the money they needed. He said, I drove all night, and not a single truck would cut me off. He said, I drove all night. I couldn't find a single way to create an accident to kill myself. And suddenly this thought ran through my mind. I heard on the Hour of Power these words. Tough times never last, but tough people do. And he said, maybe, just maybe those words are true, and just maybe I can recover from this thing. So I'm 53 years old. Maybe there is a God. And he said, today, I've got to tell you, 10 years later, I've bought my partner out. I've created more businesses. I'm worth 3 times what I was 10 years ago. And he said, I came here, and the Hour of Power saved my life. Wherever I went, I heard stories. I was in Switzerland, in Zurich, and just 3 rows back, you could see this couple had been there early, and they got as close as they could, and I said, anyone here say the Hour of Power saved my life? They jumped to their feet, and they waved their hands. And afterwards, I talked to them, and they said, we were both on drugs. And we were convinced that we had not long to live, but that was okay. It was a good time for us. Then we discovered the Hour of Power, and we discovered the good news of Jesus Christ. Another woman in Frankfurt shared how she had cancer. And through the Holy Spirit of God and through the Hour of Power, the cancer was taken away. Lives are being changed through this ministry. And they're being changed around the world. It's happening. And the reason they're being changed is because we have a message, a positive message that Jesus Christ is alive and that he's real and that he makes a difference in our lives. Years ago, I was looking through an old magazine called Life Magazine. Anybody remember Life Magazine? It's an old, boy, a bunch of old people in here, I'll tell you. And I was flipping through this magazine. It's about this big. And just lots of pictures and very clear, concise, beautiful pictures. And this Life magazine I was looking at was about... the reason I was very interested in it was because it was about a man named Armin Hammer, who is the president and the CEO and owner of Occidental Petroleum. And as I flipped through the pages, I was looking at the pictures, and they had a picture of him sitting in his bed. Can you believe that? He allowed them to take a picture of him sitting in bed. And he said he was watching the 3 televisions of LBJ, which he had purchased and had in his bedroom. Now, they were 3 televisions sitting right next to each other. So he could watch all 3 networks at the same time if he wanted. And I was curious. I was wondering, what does a man like this read? I carefully examined his nightstand. And I saw on the top of all of his reading material a magazine called Guidepost.
Guidepost is a publication by Norman Vincent Peale. Norman Vincent Peale was coming to church to preach here soon, and I called my dad and I said, Dad, you should get in touch with Armin Hammer and invite him to come to the Crystal Cathedral to hear Norman Peale, because Peale's going to be preaching, and he doesn't have any chance to hear Peale preach anymore. And so he did, and Armin Hammer came. And as a result of that introduction, he brought us to Russia. And we started broadcasting in Russia before the wall came down in Berlin. When I was in Berlin and I saw just the remnants of this wall, I was reminded of the lunch that we had with him, where he said to my father and I, he said, Lenin told me. We're not talking John Lennon, we're talking Lennon from Russia, okay? He said, Lennon told me. That got our attention. What did Lennon tell him? He said, Lennon told me that communism will not work. He says, I'm going to go meet with Gorbachev and I'm going to tell him that Lennon told me that communism will not work. And he said, furthermore, I'm going to meet with Reagan, and I'm going to tell Reagan that Gorbachev wants perestroika. And it wasn't long after that that I remember listening on television to Ronald Reagan say these words, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And today in Berlin, there's nothing but remnants. And the wall is gone. What walls do we have that keep us from making the leap of faith, say yes to Jesus Christ, and allowing His Spirit to fill our hearts and our souls and our minds? What walls have we built that have kept us from proclaiming faith in Christ and proclaiming the love that Jesus has for our fellow man? What walls do we need to tear down? What bridges do we need to build? Today, I want to invite you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to accept Him into your heart and say, yes, Jesus, I need You. I want to put my sins behind and my love in front and walk with You. And there's no better time to do it than today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You're a God of new beginnings, that You're tearing down the walls which prevent us from being the people that You called us to be. And so, oh God, give us the faith to leap into Your loving arms and to say yes to You, to Your grace, and to Your love. So we give ourselves to You today, body, mind, and soul, 100% to You, our God and our Lord. Amen. Now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit touch your hearts and your minds with the knowledge of His love. And may that love flow through you and extend to every person you meet and greet this week and always. Amen.
Sons of
Tot zover deze uitzending van Hour of Power op Vaderdag. En ik hoop dat iedereen genoten heeft en dat je de inspiratie uit hebt gehaald. Niet alleen voor je geloof, maar ook om de komende dagen iets met de uitzending te doen. Met wat je gehoord hebt. Wij nemen afscheid. Heel veel mensen denken over vakantie of gaan misschien al op vakantie. Nou, als je op vakantie gaat, dan hoef je Hour of Power niet te missen. Want via de laptop kun je ons volgen waar ook ter wereld. Tik in www.hourofpower.nl. Ga naar videokerkdiensten en dan kun je de uitzending volgen. Overigens, nu ik het over vakantie heb... een heleboel mensen hebben zich opgegeven voor de reis naar Israël... met dominee Anthony Schuller, die net in Nederland is geweest. En er is heel veel belangstelling. Er gaan meer dan 100 mensen mee. En misschien denkt u er ook over na. Nou, dat wordt ook weer iets geweldigs. Hour of Power wil veel voor de kijkers doen. En dat blijkt ook wel als je onze website bekijkt. www.hourofpower.nl. Iedereen een hele fijne zondag en een goede Vaderdag toegewenst.